I thought it would be appropriate to study this morning from 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 4. And we'll entitle the sermon, "The Rock That Followed Them." Well, since last Wednesday was September the 11th, we should recall, those of us that were around in 2001 and understood, we suffered the worst terrorist attack in the history of our country and possibly in the world. We were all affected at that time by the horrible events that occurred. We should remember how we prayed, those of us in the church, fervently for the families who lost loved ones and for our president at the time of a national crisis. We know that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James 5:16. We remember how our country came together as prayer was an everyday subject. American flags were being worn on our lapels. Yes, but it did not last long, unfortunately. But we should remember how much we appreciated the police and firemen as they rushed into the Twin Towers and many gave their lives to save others. We should remember the heroes of Flight 93 as they brought the plane down before it could crash into its target, possibly the Capitol building or the White House in Washington, D.C. Yes, so many heart-rending accounts of the heroic efforts in the Twin Towers and in the Pentagon building. Remember as well, it was hit. And so as we think about what happened back 23 years ago, we need to appreciate how Christians were drawn closer to God and ready to help our fellow man by pointing them to Christ, to have a ready answer to those that would ask us of the reason of the hope that is in us, and do so with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. And the sermon I preached in Terre Haute, Indiana, after that horrible event, was this very sermon, "The Rock That Followed Them." And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And keep those initials in mind, PFE. So at this time, we want to invite everyone to join in with us right here at 540 East Morgan Street, as we come together in our Bible classes to study God's precious Word, and then as we come together to worship God in the assembly, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be with a proper attitude, but in accordance to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. And I can assure you, you will receive a warm welcome. And something else to mention. If you're interested in having a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. If you would like a Bible correspondence course, we can offer several of those as well. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, again, you can send those to us at 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. So let's get into our study this morning, "The Rock That Followed Them." And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and notice together verses 1 through 4. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Paul refers to Christ as the rock, and we want to emphasize that. Yes, capital R in the text. The second person of the Godhead was with them. The cloud in the day and the pillar of fire by night. Exodus 13:20-22. So let's begin our study this morning concerning the rock that followed them. As we note, Jesus, the rock that offers support. 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. The chief cornerstone is Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other. Christ is the foundation. It's his church. Matthew 16:18. Jesus promised to build my church. And he did. And it's his body, a spiritual body, the called out ecclesia. Well, you know, buildings can fall. As we watched in horror on the news what happened in New York in 2001, September 11th. But the church that Jesus built is built upon the rock of truth, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the greatest support. Matthew 16:18. Yes, Peter made the good confession, and upon that rock of truth, Jesus built his church. So let's be wise and build on the rock foundation which will support us. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus in chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 24, and therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. When the winds came and blew against the house, the rains came pounding on the house, it stood because it was on a solid foundation. But what about the foolish man who built his house upon the sand? It fell. So when the storms of life come, are we on solid ground or sinking sand? If we do not build on the foundation of Christ, we are sure to fall, as the house built upon the sand certainly did. Matthew 7:26-27. So let's always remember that we must be more than hearers of the word. James 1:22, we should all know this verse. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But let's notice again something else. Jesus is the rock that offers shelter. Yes, not only support, but shelter. Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Well, many people escaped harm by running into the underground subway near the World Trade Center. Remember? Yes, we saw so much on the news reporting this horrible event and how the dust clouds were going fast down the streets. But you know, Jesus offers the greatest spiritual shelter. So can we say, as David, the psalmist of old? Notice with me Psalm 62, verses 6 through 8. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. No matter what happens in the presidential race, in election, in how concerned we are, the direction the country's going in, if it continues to get worse, hopefully better. But we have Jesus, the rock that offers shelter. The true church is the Lord's body, which is the spiritual place of safety. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Ephesians 1:3, notice verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now, being in the church does not necessarily keep us from physical harm. We can get terrible diseases just like anyone else. We can have horrible accidents. We can have tragedies in our families, certainly, and have. But if we remain faithful, being in the true church, this gives us refuge from the world which is ruled by Satan. 2 Corinthians 4:4, we need to be reminded, in whom the God of this world, little g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, Satan, as a gardener, he plants seeds of doubt in the minds of them which believe not. I'll relate this as I worked with a good, faithful brother in the Lord. Brother Cliff Lyons and I worked together in Russia for a number of years. And I recall Brother Cliff writing an article entitled, Pulling Weeds Above the Arctic Circle, as we worked together above the Arctic Circle. So you see, the weeds needed to be pulled there just as well, where there was a lot of snow and ice. But here's the point. Jesus is the rock that offers shelter. Yes, not from physical harm necessarily, but refuge from the world ruled by Satan. And do not let him plant seeds of doubt in our minds, no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets. Stay faithful and have that home in heaven when the Lord returns. Oh, how we look forward to that, do we not? But let's go on. Number 3, Jesus is the rock that offers security. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The airport security did not stop the terrorists from the hijacking of those planes. But Jesus, He offers the greatest security possible. There is eternal security for those, now note, who remain faithful in the church unto death or Christ's second coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Revelation 2:10, we should all know, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. But we can turn away from God. You see, that can happen if we become subdued, giving in to the temptations of Satan and allowing trials and tribulations to take away our faith. Yes, we can lose our salvation, but nothing should separate us from our love for Christ. Yes, no matter what happens. Study Romans 8, 35 through 39. Well, some think that may be referring to God's love for us, but look at it in the sense of our love for Christ. We know God's love is not going to change for us, but what about our love for God? We could allow things to, you know, cause a problem there. So let's study it in that light. Romans 8, 35 through 39. So I want to mention this. Once saved, always saved is a false teaching. John Calvin promoted this many years ago. A number of religious groups hold on to it still today. They call it eternal security. No, it's false security is what it is. Peter, by inspiration, after he wrote about adding the Christian graces to our faith in 2 Peter chapter 1 there, notice what he stated, again by inspiration, in verses 9 and 10. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, instead of forgetting that we were purged from our old sins, here's the rather. Brethren, give diligence to making your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. But if you do not do those things, then what? Then we fall. Of course, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Of course, 1 Corinthians 10:12 reveals that. And on we could go, scripture after scripture. So that's a false teaching, once saved, always saved. Perseverance of the saints is another term used for that false doctrine. But notice, we have true security by remaining faithful children of God and growing in the faith, as that is how we can know assuredly that we have salvation. Yes, we can know it. If we've obeyed the gospel and we're remaining faithful, we don't have to be in doubt. Notice 1 John 5, 3 and 4. 1 John 5, 3 and 4. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's solid, knowing, again, by keeping his commandments, and they're certainly not grievous. Verses 19 and 20, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now that's something to hold on to. That's security. As long as we remain faithful. We emphasize that. Number 4, Jesus is the rock that causes many people to stumble. Well, this is the negative side, is it not? And we have to cover this. Notice 1 Peter 2, 6 through 8. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. We don't want to stumble at the word. We don't want to see Christ as a rock of offense. But if we're disobedient, what are we really saying in our lifestyle? It was very difficult to find the deceased and all the rubble from the collapsed buildings. Remember how many days were involved in searching. And sometimes they found people still alive. We're thankful for that. But so many were in that rubble. But here's the point. Anyone who desires to know the truth and seeks after it can find, seek, and ye shall find, Jesus said in Matthew 7:7. Of course, we have to seek in God's word, because this is the truth. Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And in John 8:31-32, what did Jesus say to those disciples whom believed on him? If, notice that, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall, what? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Have we learned the truth? Have we been made free from our sins by obeying the gospel of Christ, contacting his precious blood in the watery grave of baptism? Well, sad to say, many people in the world are stumbling over Christ because they do not want to obey the commands of God. They're refusing salvation from their sins, preferring the pleasures of sin for a season. Doesn't last. They have to keep going back and back and back to the wells of sin, pleasurable things that are sinful. And that's no way to live. God doesn't want us to be hurt. He gives us boundaries. Yes. And we need to understand those boundaries and not cross them and get hurt and hurt others. So living in the pleasures of sin just for that season is not something that should be attractive, but certainly Satan tries to make it that way, doesn't he? But many people, see, are refusing to get out of their sins because they enjoy staying in them. And Hebrews 11:25, Moses, he refused the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose looking towards the Messiah. So how many, instead of accepting the offer of eternal salvation by the grace of God, refuse because they're trusting in their feelings? I feel in my heart. Well, if your heart is not guided by the Holy Scriptures and the Word of God, if you don't have the Word and the truth living by it, you're being deceived. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. It's repeated in Proverbs. So think about that, all of us. Even in the Lord's church, many are stumbling. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having what? Itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Do we want to hear the truth preached from the pulpit and the classrooms? Or we prefer funny stories and fables? It's not wrong to tell a funny saying, but to build a sermon around jokes, that's not preaching the word. We don't want to have itching ears, do we? We shouldn't. So let's be sure that we're studying God's precious word and certainly searching the scriptures to be sure that we're being fed the truth in our Bible classes and from the pulpit. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. We're under the new law, the law of Christ, the New Testament, New Covenant. We study the Old Testament, but we're not under the law of Moses nor the patriarchal law. We're under the law of Christ. And in Acts 17:11, what did the Bereans do? They searched the scriptures daily to be sure those things were so that were being told. You've heard me say before, if you've listened very long, Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. So let us accept the offers of Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation, not seeing him as a rock to stumble over, of course not, but realize the support that he offers, the shelter, the security, and most importantly, eternal salvation. Let us turn to God and do his will and not stumble over the chief cornerstone, but build upon the rock, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No matter what lies ahead, let us always trust God and keep his commandments. Proverbs 3:5, Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. What's the whole duty of man? Solomon concluded properly, to fear God and keep his commandments. We're to trust God, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Don't stay with those feelings if they're not established upon the word of God. So, are you ready to submit to the gospel of Christ if you have not done so? We're standing ready to study further with you and help you in being an obedient child of God, to become a Christian by hearing the word, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the rock we've studied about. And then, having believed that he is the Christ, we're ready, motivated to repent. It's difficult to turn loose of some things, yes, but it's going to be a better life. Getting out of a sinful life, changing our will, ready to do the will of God, Luke 13:3-5. And then, having repented, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. We're not there yet. But after stating, I believe Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, then we're ready to be baptized. Here's where we're contacting the precious blood of Christ as we die to sin in that watery grave. We're coming up out of the water to walk in newness of life. Look at Romans 6:3-6. We're baptized into his death. That's when Jesus shed his blood. John 19:33-34. As we come up out of the watery grave to walk in newness of life, what happens? The Lord adds us to his body, the true church, Acts 2:47, where we need to remain faithful, even if it would mean our death, and we'll have the victory. And we thank you so much for listening today.